There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Right now, we're going to look at kind of different topic for us on the program. We have a guest in the studio for us. Warm welcome back to Dr. Kieran Hillier, who's a forensic psychologist at LifeWorks Foundation. Welcome and thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
I think this is a topic that we discussed. We're talking about scams, and it's something that we hear a lot about in the news. So we cover this in the newsroom quite often, and it's sort of a warning. There's often, the government often warn us and say, look, if anyone calls you and pretends to be from the government or maybe one of the big utilities, anything like that, just be careful. Think about what you're doing. Don't hand over information. But there's a bit more to it than that, I guess. We find frequently certain people are maybe targeted in terms of scams more than others. So there is some consideration in terms of people going about scams. And I guess, what kind of victims do we often find? Because it seems scammers target a certain sort of profile.
Well, certainly depending on the type of scam that the scammer is doing, a lot of it is mass marketed. So they are just hoping if we throw this out to as many people as possible, we're likely to get at least a few people biting back. So I think awareness is growing, but you're right. There are certain people who are more likely to be victims of scams. Some of the research is suggesting that characteristics can include things like being overly trusting. So certainly scammers, they take advantage of a lot of positive human traits that we have. You know, we like to believe that people are telling us the truth, and we like to cooperate with people if they are asking us to do something. But it's people who are overly trusting that are more likely to fall victim. So you could argue, you know, is that them being naive? Or is that assuming the greater good in the particular individual? Other research is suggesting that older individuals are more likely to be scammed. And so I'm talking about those aged 55 or older.
Yeah.
Again, whether that is due to unfamiliarity with the type of technology that's being used. So if they get an email, they don't necessarily understand that that's an email that's actually been sent out to tens of thousands of people. This is not a personal email to you. And so they don't know how to identify the warning signs that this could be a scam. Or it could be that people who are older are more likely to be living alone. And so there's a sense of loneliness. And so a lot of scammers will try and build on developing a positive relationship with the victim. They don't, again, depending on the scam, they don't ask for what it is that they want straight away. They start with just building the relationship and wanting to form a friendship with the individual and building that trust. So those are two components. And then the other one that comes up a lot is people who are going through some form of big life transition, and that could be positive or negative. So it could be someone has either lost a job or has just been promoted to a job that they've been dreaming about. They've relocated to a new country. They've experienced the end of a relationship, or they've just gotten married. So it can be both. And so there's a lot of strong emotions happening for them. There's a lot of turmoil going through. And so in that type of situation, the victim's more likely to allow their emotions to have a bigger influence on their decision making.
And you can see why that is, can't you? If you know, when you get a cold call and somebody says, Natalie, it's been ages since we've had a chat, and you think, who is it? Where are you? I don't know who you are. But you think this? Because they've used your name and it's personal and they're friendly, immediately you're that little bit more receptive, and you think, oh, maybe I did speak to you a while ago. And there's doubt in your mind. When you do that, you can see why people fall in the trap of the cold calling. But it's very similar, because tech now personalizes, and you can send an email to 15 million people, but personalize each one. So you think, oh, you're being lovely to me.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of scammers also take advantage on that desire for us to be polite. You know, if we have received a cold call from somebody, it's very few people who are comfortable saying, look, I'm not interested in hanging up the phone straight away. Or if someone approaches you on the street. So they are hoping that they can get you on for long enough so that it builds some form of relationship, some form of commitment. So they might even ask you to do something quite small. You know, if you could send a text message and then we'll send you more information or something like that. And it's that's a foot in the door technique. If they can get you to do something small, then with every request becomes just a little bit more demanding on us. Yeah. But we already feel like, well, I've agreed to do these other things, so I would look inconsistent. I would look rude if I turned around and said no now. So it's that small step-by-step process.
And there's sort of a variety of tactics that are employed. When we look at some of the news stories we've seen here, there's Ponzi schemes, there's lottery scams, fake vouchers for supermarkets. People are relying on trusted names and trusted brands to sort of bolster that feeling of confidence when they contact someone. And it's quite difficult because you think it seems genuine. You know, you have maybe a telecoms company and you think, I know that name. I maybe have an account with that company, and maybe I have one.
Yeah. And what's interesting about technology is that you're right, it's so easy to plagiarize people's logos. You just do a Google search and you can get really high quality, high resolution images of logos for very well-known, very reputable brands. So it's very easy to put together something. And again, I think that comes back to that issue that victims are not, these are not silly people. Victims of scams are not likely to be any less intelligent than anybody else. They've just often been targeted at a vulnerable time in their lives. And then they feel very guilty about, or very ashamed of having fallen for this scam. And then that can introduce more difficulties for the person. They're more likely to experience depression or anxiety, internalize that shame. So then it can build and build and build. So you're right, it starts with something that at the time seems like very innocuous, but can have huge ramifications for the person.
We'll look at some of the scams that we fall prey to in a few minutes' time. But I did want to make a point in that if you fall victim to a scam, you're party to something, it's very hard to understand just how big a scheme is or a scam is or how widespread something is. It's hard to pin it down statistically, isn't it? Because very often people don't want to be caught, don't want people to know they were caught. You can understand that. There's an element of pride in that. You feel a bit daft. So they're much more prevalent, I think, than most of us would admit to. Is that reasonable to say?
Oh, definitely. It consistently, the research shows that victim report rates, it's lower. So people underreport when they are the victim. And that's not just to police. It's even when you get a phishing email, when you could go, oh, okay, I got this from it. They're saying they're representing this particular brand. I could forward this email on to that company to let them know that this is happening. A lot of people don't even do that because they think, well, this has probably happened to a lot of other people. Someone's already notified them already, so I'm not going to worry about that. So it gets underreported at every stage. It gets underreported in regards to telling your family and friends, to telling other organizations that have been implicated into it, telling the authorities. So certainly it happens at a much higher rate than probably any of the research so far truly indicates. And so the financial impact that it has, I am absolutely sure, is also very underestimated there. And the emotional impact, I think, is very underestimated.
We're talking all about scams. We're joined by Dr. Kieran Hillier, who's a forensic psychologist at LifeWorks Foundation. And we've talked a little bit about some of the scam stories that have made headlines here, whether it's lottery schemes, whether it's Ponzi schemes, fake vouchers, and the long-term impacts can be really serious. And it's not just monetary that they target, I guess. Unfortunately, romance is an area where maybe people try to prey on someone's vulnerability.
Oh, yeah. And you're right in regards to the strategies that they use. The ultimate outcome, the goal that they have, is to get money. But the way that they go about doing that is they tend to they target greed by saying, you've won this thing, you need to, in order to claim it, you need to send us a certain amount of money, send us $5,000 and we'll be sending you a check for $500,000. Or they target emotions. So they build an emotional connection with the victim. And for some scammers, they really commit to this. They can be doing this over months, if not years. And you certainly have cases in Australia and in other countries where people's life savings have been completely eaten up. But it's very rarely that it's all done in one go. They'll find that it's over several months or several years that they have continuously given this person because they believe that this is a genuine relationship. Victims report falling in love with somebody who they've never spoken to.
I saw a story not so long ago, and it was a woman, I think she was in the UK, and she had inherited a reasonable size of sum of money, and she met a man who told her he was a millionaire and was able to pretend to have such a lifestyle, and she was trying to match the lifestyle and trying to pretend that she wasn't after his money to the extent that he was able to take so much of hers. And I think it's interesting that sometimes you think of a scam being someone just outright asking for money. And like you say, they can be long-term strategies to siphon off money and large sums of money over a course of time.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think that comes back to the people who are more likely to become victims are those who are already going through a lot of emotional stress. So if you've had a relationship end, maybe death of a partner, or the relationship's just broken down, then if somebody reaches out to you either, you know, face to face or through an email or through a dating site, then we're in an emotional space where that is really comforting for us to hear. And then they're traumatized even further by then the subsequent realization that they have been completely taken advantage of.
There's nothing new in being scammed, though, is there? I mean, how many times this year have you had somebody phone you and say, oh, I'm from X phone company, you've won $500,000, and you think, oh, fantastic, mm-hmm. That's just great. Just, and then you turn around and say, well, I'm going to now call the police, and then, strangely, the phone gets put down on you. But, I mean, that happens all the time.
Regularly.
The phone companies try and do something about it, but it is very easy to put a scam like that in place. It's down to one or two people and a little bit of organisation. Yeah. But the thing with it is there are so many scams, Kieran, that the simple fact is there are so many. And the reason there are so many is because they are so successful. They work.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and you're right. Scams have existed for as long as humans have been trading goods and services. There's always going to be, there always has been, there always will be a small pocket of people who try and undermine that and take advantage of that and exploit that. The means in which they go about doing it is constantly changing as different technology becomes available. But you're right, it is a very effective form of getting money with relatively little effort for some people. And so it's basic psychology of learning in terms of reinforcement. If you've seen that this has worked for other people or to work for you in the past, then you're more likely to do it.
We have Gordon on the line who's had experience. Gordon, do you want to tell us what happened to you?
Pleasure. I used to receive emails of different employees pretending that they come from me or another colleague saying, please transfer X amount to a particular bank in the UAE. Mm-hmm. So I went into the website, try and find the button for fraud, contact. Yeah. You can't find it. You then pick up the telephone and try and get through to someone on the phone, but it says, please put in your account number, press button 1, press button 2, and it's impossible to get a fast connection to a bank to report a fraud.
And Gordon, obviously, you were able to spot that this wasn't a legitimate request. Obviously, it's not the kind of message you or a colleague would send, but, yeah, I mean, what made it obvious to you that it was a scam?
Because it was supposed to be coming from me.
That's fair enough, isn't it?
So that wasn't very well targeted.
No. It's to my colleague who says, Gordon, we don't have $17,000 to transfer.
But Gordon, well done to you for spotting the fact that it wasn't genuine, whether it was from you to a colleague. But I think it's really important, as we've mentioned today, not many people feel so confident talking about it, reporting it. So thank you very much for calling us.
Pleasure.
I mean, Dr. Kieran, we have lots of people texting in about this, and people are asking questions like, you know, can calls from unknown numbers be a problem? And people are saying, you know, they've had attempts to ask them to transfer money. There's been victims of several phishing scams with lots of different providers. And I think it does happen a lot. It is something that is common. But do people have much chance in terms of getting money back or getting any recourse usually if this sort of thing happens?
Unfortunately, overall, the data suggests no. Once the money is gone, it is incredibly difficult to get any of that money back. That's not to say that people shouldn't try and they shouldn't report it once they've realized that they have been scammed. The reason for that is twofold. The first one is that you're not going to know. If you don't report it, then there's no way you're going to get your money back. So at least by reporting it, there might be some way that you can do it. Depending on how they went about transferring the money, you might be able to talk with the bank or the company that did the money transfer. You might be able to trace it back to where you sent it. But the second one is that if these aren't reported, then the scammers are less likely to get caught. The more that we feel comfortable reporting this information, the more widespread that information can get, and so then we can protect future victims from being targeted.
And I said I had a brief scam story myself, and this happened to me after I'd left a job I'd been working at for a long time, and I had a phone call from someone purporting to be my pension company saying, if you've left the job, we need to make sure we have current details for you because we need to know where you are. In the long term, when you move house, you need to tell us. And I was so suspicious of this, and I thought, why is someone contacting me? This is really dodgy. And it took me about a week to trust that this really was genuine, and I may be too skeptical, but also it's nice to have a healthy bit of, you know, a bit of critical thinking in these cases. Now, lots of people have texted and said, oh, I've thwarted a phishing scam or anyone that's tried to scam me. But what advice do you have for people who maybe have been scammed? Because there is so much shame. How do you cope with it afterwards?
I think conversations like what we're having now is really important, just to normalize the experience. That you are not the only person that this has happened to. And it's not because you have done anything wrong or that you're a bad person or that you were stupid for believing this. You know, this person has taken advantage of some of the best aspects of you as an individual. So, you know, it's very easy for me to say that you shouldn't feel ashamed about it, but it is talking about it. Now, whether people are comfortable talking about that with family or friends or a professional like myself or anybody else who they feel that they can trust. But understanding that this is not your fault, this is something that unfortunately happens far more frequently than we would like it to. And trying to, what is it that we can learn from that experience, and how do you ensure that it doesn't jade you? Because the example that you gave about your particular situation, I think it's safer to be skeptical than it is to be trusting if you're getting contacted by someone that you don't know. Because to be overly skeptical, you're not going to lose anything from that. They might think that you're a little bit difficult, but otherwise I'd rather somebody think that about me than someone taking my money. So I'd certainly err on the side of caution regarding something like that. But we don't want then people feeling like now that this has happened, then that means that people are inherently untrustworthy and the world is an inherently unsafe place. That is something that we certainly want to try and avoid. So it's processing, it's normalizing the experience, and it's explaining why that this is somebody else's issue. This is not your issue. And so we want to minimize the impact that this is going to have on you. This person certainly hurt you now. Let's not give them that power of taking that hurt with you into the future.
We've been talking about different types of scams, why people fall for them, and what you can do to deal with the aftermath. Our guest today, Dr. Kieran Hillier, forensic psychologist at LifeWorks Foundation. Dr. Kieran, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.